You're listening to the Darius Daniels Podcast.
Well, what's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Darius Daniels Podcast. I'm Darius Daniels, and I'm excited to have you as a part of today's show. We got an incredible show today, and we're going to continue our conversation surrounding this subject of criticism. Managing criticism well is a necessary life skill. We want to help you with that. As always, I've got my co-hosts, who are the co-pilots, and we're getting ready to take this show and this ship to another level. We got a great show coming up next, right here on the Darius Daniels Podcast. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Chastity Dakari, how y'all doing today?
Doing good. I'm good. You clapped before we went into the segment. Or were you about to dance or something?
No, listen, I'm going to tell you where that came from. I think I was filming something, and the people told me to like clap, like that's what they, like I had to do that before every film. I think I had to do that for EDS.
Really?
It was like, yeah, before every take.
To get on beat.
I thought they had me clap. No, serious.
A net or a mosquito.
Come on.
But you know what? Sometimes like, I don't know if this is like a culture thing or whatever, but like when people are about to dance, they do like that clap and they go into the dance.
Yeah, that's true.
That's it. They know they clap about to do it.
Listen, you clap.
We all in our casual attire. We should have a dance. I look like it's checks over stripes today.
It's definitely checks
y'all
over stripes.
I got your checks today.
But you know what? I miss the color coordinating thing.
See, it's special, but I would not compliment him, you know, about the blue. You know,
she's talking about you.
I thought you were talking about me and wearing blue.
No,
I was like, you know,
she's talking about the way you're color coordinated.
Oh, okay.
Well, no,
I don't know why we
just
keep coming back
blue.
To me.
Y'all are both wearing blue.
I knew exactly what Jesse was talking about.
I was wrong,
but I knew I wasn't gonna make any kind of comments. You know,
about blue?
No, about him, you know, complimenting, you know, same color, you know, we don't want no problems.
We don't want no problems.
Problems, you know.
What song is it? We don't want no problems.
I think they're a little scrappy. We don't want no problems.
That's Lil Scrappy from Atlanta?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know any other Lil Scrappy?
Okay.
I didn't even know that one.
I mean, that's how he started off the song.
Yeah.
But what's up, man? What's going on?
I'm doing great.
What's
I'm doing
been
great.
You
excited
you
about
being?
The show. Nowhere.
Oh.
Thank goodness.
Okay.
Oh, no. I was away.
Oh.
I was away.
Okay.
At an undisclosed location for some, with some friends. And
okay.
Resting and relaxing. Some dope couple friends that we hung out with. And so it was a good week.
Yeah. I went to Houston. It was great.
What was there?
Man, my brother, he and his wife decided to have friends come up and celebrate the anniversary.
Okay.
So it was like, let's all go hang out. So we had a good time.
Oh, it was like a destination thing.
Well, just Houston, Texas.
No. Oh, your sister.
Were you guys safe?
Sister lives there too.
Were you safe?
Yeah.
Was there social distancing?
I mean, it's Texas.
It's Texas. They never shut down.
I don't even get me started.
It's like Atlanta. They never shut down.
Somebody showed me a meme of Joe Biden saying, hopefully by July or something, we can have barbecues.
Oh, yeah.
And then on the bottom of it says, Texas. Y'all stop barbecuing? Like, wait a minute. We can have a barbecue on the 4th. It's like, yo, we never stop barbecuing.
We never stop. Like,
that's
so
funny.
Yeah, just like Atlanta, we wide open.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. All-Star weekend was crazy.
Yes.
Atlanta just wide open.
Yeah, I don't think.
I was in Atlanta for All-Star weekend. And it took us like 20 minutes.
Wait,
one
so
time
were you
to go 1 mile.
Doing the All-Star festivities?
No.
Or? Oh, okay.
Absolutely not. I was just trying to get one of my friends had a birthday dinner for his wife, but it was in Buckhead, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And we just trying to get off the exit to the restaurant.
Yeah.
And it took
it's
us
crazy.
20 minutes to go like 1 mile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to Atlanta. Yeah.
It was crazy.
Chassie, what you do?
Just kind of hung out. That's all. I don't do much. You know, why you guys on vacation and on your trips and stuff. I'm here working.
Oh.
Yep. I'm taking a vacation next month, though.
She seems to be very measured in how much information she gives us.
Yeah.
Well, I don't my life is not as exciting as you guys. Only when I go on vacation is my life exciting.
Wow. Yeah, we know that.
It is. So.
Dakari, don't say.
Don't even. It's kind of boring at this point, so don't even go there.
I'm embracing empathy.
Oh, is that what you're doing?
Okay. Put this on your shirt.
So, listen, you know, speaking of empathy, I want to get y'all thoughts on this.
Okay.
So I'm online on one of these platforms, and I see this, it goes viral. I see this series of tweets go viral. So this is what I think happened. You had a couple that went out to eat. So the girlfriend's friend, which was another girl, a woman, mm-hmm. accompanied them. So so you got a couple that's dating. Mm-hmm. And then the girlfriend's friend comes along. So all of them eat.
So three
eat.
People.
So
right.
three people are there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So all of them eat. When it's time for the check, the boyfriend says, two checks, please. Mm. He pays for him and his girlfriend's food and makes the girlfriend's friend pay for her food. And she posted these series of tweets regarding how she felt about it. What are y'all thoughts
on that? Was she upset like that he didn't cover her tab as well?
She was very upset. She was very upset. That he didn't cover a tab.
Do y'all do that when y'all go out with other like couples, or if it's just you and your fiance or your wife, and they bring someone along? Are you covering the whole table?
Hold on. Was she invited or did she invite herself?
Because it matters, right?
I don't know. I just saw it was all over everywhere.
Don't get analytical.
If my fiance and her friend, usually when I know that they're coming. Uh-huh. There are no surprises. You know
why your voice? Because you're a little loud.
It seems like you got a little agitated.
Don't surprise me at the table. You know, I didn't get the stimulus. You know what I'm saying? Not yet.
You're stimulating.
Like, no way.
The stimulus, you ain't on your stimulus.
You know what I'm saying? So like, I'm on a budget when we go out. You know how much everything costs, and I know what you normally eat.
Absolutely.
You know.
So you're saying you wouldn't have covered the bill?
If she invited herself, she invited the tab to come to her. If we invited her, you know, then I'm taking care of it. So
really?
Now if the bill's like $12, I mean, like, oh, let's just group it all together, you know, but.
And give it to her. No,
I think she said her bill was like $20-something.
Mm, she didn't have $20?
No, I think.
No. Oh.
I don't know. I don't know her. I just saw it online. Oh, okay. I don't know her.
And she gonna tweet about it. She ain't a friend of mine. You know? and then when you just think about it, she's tweeted about her friend's man. Like, that's kind of rude too. Like, now you talk.
That is a little, I think that part is a little awkward.
Yeah. So now you think you're gonna come back around me?
Yeah, I think I would have generalized it. If I would have put something out like that, I probably wouldn't have done that. But I think I would have generalized, if anything, I wouldn't have, you know, made it seem so personal. And so then that way it's like, oh,
so you do you feel like he should have taken care of the bill?
Honestly, I think it just goes based on preference and what you do. There's never been a time where I've been out and there's guys at the table and they haven't covered the bill for
that's
the
a slight
table.
Flex.
Yeah.
Dakari, what you think?
I've never been out.
Yeah, I mean, that's a slight flex.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah. No, that wasn't.
Dakari, be honest.
It's, no, it's
we,
no shade.
We hang out,
I was just saying
we
it's
go
a
to
slight.
Eat.
It's
Dakari, a real one. Dakari, he cover it.
Yeah, you're my friend.
Exactly.
But if you invite your friend or your friend invites herself, she won't have that same privilege.
Wow.
Okay, so PD, let us know what would be your take on that.
I would have covered it.
You would have covered it.
That's yeah, sure. I would have covered it.
Yeah.
And so I don't think everybody's obligated to do that.
They're
though.
Not. Yeah. They're not.
So I think just for me, I would have done it because it's like, yo, if you're my wife's friend, then that doesn't mean you're a friend of mine, but like I'm gonna honor that friendship mm-hmm. in that sense. And I want to treat. I don't know, that's your friend. So I want to treat your friend like.
Dinner on PD tonight.
She, yeah. If she, like, if you value her, then, like, I value
but
her.
But if she just showed up, I think the expectation, that's weird to me. You can't show up with the expectation that I'm supposed to pay for.
But who said she had that expectation,
yo, but
though?
Here's another question, though. It's like, to me, this is like, I'm going to be honest here. So, Dakari, I'm getting ready to jump out here. Don't leave me out here by myself.
I'm not.
Oh, because Dakari, you just see. He said, "No, leave him out there.
Don't leave me out here by myself.
Yeah, here don't it is. You leave?
Because here's the thing. I feel like this is what can be. I mean, to me, I don't have this issue. But I feel like this is what can be confusing to a lot of men, like when it comes to like gender roles. Because on one hand, it's like this idea of egalitarianism. And I think I'm an egalitarian, you know. But the point is this.
You got to define that.
Yeah, I'm like, wait, what? You see how I looked at him? Like, yeah,
egalitarian.
Yeah. Let's not get into that.
Siri.
No, here's the point. Like, it's this idea like, yo, I believe men and women are distinct, but I believe they're equal.
Yeah,
right? I agree. I think, so I don't even know that. So here's the point, though. I do feel like it can be confusing because, like, on one hand, it's no. Let's remove all these social constructs of gender roles.
Right.
You know, let me be. And then at the same time, there's also like this, yo, but a man needs to be a man. It's like, okay, well, what does that mean? Like,
yeah.
Are there gender roles or not? Because to me, it can be confusing. It can be mixed messages. And Dakari, when we did it's on YouTube if people haven't seen it. What did we do? The relational intelligence, was it the dating edition?
Yeah, it was the title dealt with being found. I can't think of right offhand.
Yeah, but we had a discussion about not all men, but a group of men who are kind of like introverted, who aren't going to be as aggressive and assertive without a woman kind of giving them a sign of some sort that she's interested. And when we started talking like that, we got some of the, oh no, a man needs to be a man and he needs to approach me. And I'm like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but it's almost like, it can be confusing because it's like, okay, no, I don't want any old school stereotypical gender roles.
Right.
Except for when it comes to the man doing some of the things that I feel like a man's supposed to do. Yeah, I know I'm out here, but I'm just telling you this, it can be confusing.
Yeah. And I think that's the weird part. It's not that I'm saying I wouldn't take care of my wife's friend's tab. I'm saying, did you voluntarily invite yourself to have dinner with us? And you came with the expectation that once this tab came, that I was going to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's different if, like, it's different if...
Hey, I can understand.
We're hanging out like, oh, tell her, come on, she out. She
yeah, she good.
That's cool. But don't have the expectation if you voluntarily say, hey, girl, oh, y'all over there? I'm about to pull up. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, pull up. Mm-hmm. Have a seat. Pay for your bill.
Pay for your bill.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know.
You're somebody with $26.
It's interesting. I feel like either way you go, which kind of leads to what we're going to talk about today, either way you go, you kind of set yourself up for criticism.
You do.
You set yourself up for criticism.
Because I believe that's what
she
did.
Because someone would say, the man is always supposed, like, you know, a man might say, a man is always supposed to pay.
Yeah.
And you might be dealing with some sisters who are like, yo, I can pay.
Mm-hmm.
So some people might find that offensive. You know what I mean? So it's I don't know. It's kind of weird.
What your preference is and what your standard is.
But I'm telling you, there are mixed messages out there.
Yeah.
Being sent out there. And there are some guys that are confused. It's like,
I agree.
What do I do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you want this, but you don't want this.
Yeah.
You said a man be a man. It's like, there's no rule book for this. Like, who created these rules?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
really weird. Well, listen, man, we had this last week. We had this incredible conversation around this subject of criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided to do a part two. And I'm excited to have that conversation today. I think it's going to be helpful for so many people. We want y'all to stay tuned because that's coming up next right here on the Darius Daniels Podcast. Well, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Excited to continue this conversation about, I think, this life skill of mastering criticism. Got Chastity and Dakari in the building one more again.
See, that's that thug life coming out.
It is.
I keep trying to tell y'all.
Stop trying to suppress it.
Stop playing with me.
Yeah, stop trying to. I think you need to stop playing with yourself. You have to stop playing with yourself.
Stop
first.
Playing with me.
Hey, I don't want no smoke on this.
You don't want to smoke. See, now you got to change your language.
Yeah, stop
playing with me.
So you going now? Want no smoke, bro? You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Scoot over.
Yo, so this is a continuation of a conversation we started last week about criticism. And I feel like last week, most of our conversation was focused on, like, dealing with, like, outside criticism. But Dakari, you mentioned something not too long ago that I feel like we need to lean into today, and that's internal criticism, like dealing with the internal critic. Mm-hmm. So I know I answer like most of the questions here, but I want to throw something out because I'm genuinely interested in hearing a different perspective on this because I don't know the answer. And that is, would you say, based on your interaction with people in your circle, that the majority of people have an inner critic? Or is that just, or do people struggle with that who are typically just more driven, like type A personalities, people who might be D's, like on the DISC assessment? So what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's both, actually. For me, personally, would I be considered type A?
Yes.
Yeah.
Am I?
Yes.
Definitely. A+.
Y'all okay?
No, we're speaking the truth in love.
Because everybody in the studio is laughing.
Because everybody in the studio right here, what's the camera? Jay? I call
Mike.
Him Jay.
His Mike, name is why Mike.
I called you Jay, bro, and you didn't even say anything. You're so respectful. Yeah. Mike, thank you. Mike laughed because Mike believes you're type A. Right, Mike?
Wow.
Hey, where's Beers by Shot?
Yep, Beers by Shot.
Oh, please leave him out of the conversation. Yeah. Please.
Beers by Shot would say she's type A. Yeah. I feel comfortable in saying that. And Jay Sweet, his new name, he's Jay Smooth.
Please Jay leave Jay Sweet
representing
out.
The A5A. Salute. FAMU. He's FAMU, right? Jay Sweet is FAMU?
Yes.
Oh, he's FAMU? I'm definitely going to a FAMU homecoming. Now, facts. I'm going to a FAMU.
Why?
I got to find an HBCU to attach myself to for homecoming purposes.
I'm telling you, Tennessee State University.
I've never been to one.
We lit.
Warehouse.
We
Spellhouse.
Lit.
Homecoming.
Words. See, look, lit. I got another Tennessee State University representing here. Let me find out.
I've been to Tennessee State.
Oh.
You got somebody?
Never mind. Never yeah. mind.
No.
I've been to TSU. You haven't seen a Spellhouse homecoming.
So, Spellhouse.
What?
Yeah.
What?
But anyway, yes, we believe you're type A.
Dakar, you went somewhere with that. What?
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 I mean, I don't even know why we're asking this.
Yeah. Anyway.
No, you tell your story.
But yeah, no, I think for me, I would say it's like me with the inner critic because I am after certain things. And so it's when I don't accomplish something or it takes me a while to get to a certain point, like in my life or my career or something like that, like I'm a little critical of myself because I go back to the drawing board. I'm like, why didn't you do that differently? Or you may have procrastinated here, or, you know, something like that. So I think for different people, it's either because you're goal-driven or, you know, like successful or whatever you want to label that, or you're in friendship groups and you're critical of yourself because of maybe what other people may be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another one as well. It's like people can be so critical and analytical of themselves because of what's going on around them. It's like everyone may be doing something and then they're not doing anything. So it's like they're critical of themselves, but then someone else is like, oh, you're doing this, you're doing that, I'm so proud of you, no, whatever. But it's like, it's really like their insecurities are. Yeah.
And that is interesting. I didn't think about it that way. That's, mm-hmm. that's really helpful for me though.
And I was going to say, I kind of see your point about both, but I would lean towards those that are really driven mm-hmm. because those are the individuals I've been around a lot more in my latter years, and I even talking about me personally, I am very critical of myself based on the expectations. We kind of talked about this before mm-hmm. that I have. Well, we talked about how people have expectations of you, but the expectations I have of myself.
Absolutely.
Like we made a joke the last show about our class, you know, your class and mm-hmm. how many people were in it. And I remember making a joke to my classmates. I said, at 21, I'm going to be in Hollywood, so I'll be waving from y'all from the cameras. Mm-hmm. And here I am. I graduated, none of that happened. And I'm like, well, I wonder, did I lie to myself? What happened? I said that mm-hmm. I was going to do all of these things. And so all the rules that I wrote out or the what's I think, whatever you journal, you whatever yeah. them,
your
them
goals
rules. You,
and
yeah,
stuff,
yeah, whatever
yeah.
you make. Yeah, whatever people call them. I don't know. You know, but I'm saying, but yeah. I wrote all these things out about myself, right? And when I don't achieve these things, I'm like, Did I fail?
Sure.
Or am I not called to it? So you start wrestling with all these different things, purpose, et cetera.
Yeah.
So I do think, especially when you're driven, like yeah. I'm waking up every day like, I got to achieve this. I got to achieve this. And when it doesn't happen, I kind of say, ugh.
But you know what? I also think is that, you know, people are so focused on trying to meet an expectation that they've set for themselves that could potentially be super high.
Yeah.
And it's something that you've never done. So it can, it's not that it's unrealistic. It's just that you probably didn't think that all the way through. And so if it doesn't happen, like you really get upset. And then also society can have you placing those expectations on yourself because you're trying to like, okay, this is what people are doing in society. So it's like, I got to meet that and I got to meet that. And it's like, no, go at your own pace and identify really what's for you. And then that way, when you, you know what I'm saying, are like kind of setting expectations for yourself, you're identifying that at the level that you're currently at.
Yeah, I think so. Thank y'all for sharing that because that really helped me because I think the gist of what I'm gathering is this, that people besides people who have type A personalities deal with this. And there are a number of different factors that contribute to it. And Chastity, I think something that you said that's like so relevant right now is how our exposure to what's happening in the life of others sometimes creates unintentional comparison.
Yeah.
And then you become, I think it can cause you, so this is one of the things, like one of the drawbacks of social media. Like you get a view into the highlight reel of people's life
yes.
that you wouldn't get any other way.
Their filtered life is what
yeah.
I call it.
Mm-hmm. And so not saying it's real, not saying that what people are posting isn't real. It's just the highlight reel. Mm-hmm. You know what
yeah.
I mean? And I feel like sometimes that unintentionally causes a person to devalue what you've actually accomplished
mm-hmm.
and where you actually are. And it causes you to make anomalies the norm. So like you see the one person that's, you know, whatever, uniquely successful or uniquely influential at 30.
Mm-hmm.
That's an anomaly.
Right.
That might be like one in 150 million. But when you see that, the assumption can be, if I haven't done something like that by 30,
mm-hmm. yeah,
then one, not it's not anything. Doable.
Right.
Yeah.
Or two, there's something wrong with me. I'm damaged or undeveloped mm-hmm. in some kind of way.
And that's so not true.
Yeah. So that's I think so that's important. True. You got to deal with the outer critic, but you also have to deal with the inner critic. And sometimes the inner critic is like illogical. It's misinformed.
Mm-hmm.
He or she is comparing you to people you shouldn't be comparing yourself to. And, you know, I was having a conversation with some of our staff and we started having this conversation about money. Mm. Talking about money. And I think that's one of our shows is coming up soon.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be interviewing George Thompson.
In a couple episodes, mm. yeah.
And that's going to be I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be a game changer. And so this topic kind of came up and I was just kind of sharing with some of our team, like, listen, I told somebody, like, Google the average age of a millionaire in America.
Mm-hmm.
And they Googled, the average age was 58. I was like, yo, I want you to know,
nobody's
behind schedule.
Yeah.
Like,
see,
yeah, like you see what I'm saying?
Say
like,
that part again, though. Nobody's behind schedule.
Yeah, you're not behind schedule like the average. You wow. just see the anomalies.
Mm-hmm.
And you wow. make the anomalies normal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not, you know, it's just not real.
It's
so
not.
You have this inner critic that's actually misinformed. Because it's making something that's rare regular, and that's Ooh. Not the case.
And people become so fascinated with that. And it's like, you forget about really what you're supposed to be doing because you're seeing what other people are doing. Like, oh, they're a millionaire. They made a million in how many months or year or whatever. It's like, yeah, I got to do that. I got to create something. I got to do something so I can match that. And it's like, no, you may not be called to that.
Yeah, like, that's another question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, like, that's a completely different conversation. Mm-hmm. And so here's the thing, right? Is the goal, like in life, is it to win? Mm. Or is the goal to be faithful to who you've been called and created to be?
But you know what?
And trust you can win that way.
Yes.
Right? I think
that's winning.
I think
to me.
When the goal mm-hmm. is to win, you're that. Willing. To place your authenticity on the altar
yeah.
of winning.
Yeah.
So you sacrifice who you've been called to be and the contribution that you've been called to make, mm-hmm. I think that's an indication sometimes that we don't believe that we are enough and we don't trust that I can actually be fulfilled being faithful to who I am. Mm-hmm. And I want to be clear, that's something I feel like is a struggle from time to time. It's a mm-hmm. balance in that. It's something I've struggled with and I've always had to recenter myself, dig my heels back in and be like, yo, I'm committed to being the best version of me.
That's it.
And I am willing to live with those results. But mm-hmm. you can unintentionally drift away from that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to notice when you're drifting and then recenter and refocus yourself.
You, mm-hmm. you know, I'm listening to you all talking, it reminded me of a conversation I had with Chastity maybe a couple of days ago. And I was sharing with her where I see myself and some of the things. And I realized at the end of last year is when I really started doing what I believe I'm called to do.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I've done a lot, you know, from, woo, yeah. Like, I'm literally thinking preach. I just started.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I'm looking at my age and I'm saying, oh, this, like, I'm in mid-30s. And, you know, I mean, you're supposed to know because you listen to all these, you listen to all these podcasts, you listen to all these people. You're supposed to be doing this. You sleep when you're dead. And you got these all of these ideas. But I'm like, I'm just now starting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been so critical of myself
mm-hmm.
for the last 20 years, I would say, since high school, right? Thinking that I was supposed to be doing X, Y, and Z. And so I beat myself up. And just last year, at the end of the pandemic, I said, I think I see it now.
Wow.
Well, that's another podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. But I beat myself. I've been my worst critic because yeah. I've been faithful potentially to the wrong assignment.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Sheesh.
I think, though, I think for those of us who've struggled with this, it's going to sound so, like, sappy. I think we need to give ourselves a break.
Yeah, mm-hmm. man.
I do, because I feel like that all of us are really trying to do this without a blueprint.
Listen.
And even those of us who are a part of and grew up in religious spaces, we got guidance more. And so this is not a critique. I'm not critiquing at all. But we got guidance, like, morally and ethically.
Yep.
But I don't know if we got the tools that we needed to properly kind of discern
mm-hmm.
Some of the things that you're discerning now, to discern those things earlier.
Absolutely.
And I don't know how you actually do that without the tools and some experience, right. You know? And so it's almost like I don't expect otherwise. I remember I was having a session with somebody that I mentor, and we were having a conversation about just kind of where they are, like, emotionally and some things like that. So I started digging into some of their disciplines and their spiritual habits and emotional habits and those kind of things. And as I kind of dug into that, I wanted to ensure and encourage the person. I was like, hey, I don't want you to feel bad about where you are. It's okay. You know, it's okay to not want to say that. I want you to feel bad, because now that I've kind of dug into some of your practices and habits and all of that, I don't expect you to be in a good place.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be in a good place without doing these things.
Yeah.
But you're only doing what you know to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, how would you know to do otherwise. These things if no one taught you different? I was like, mm-hmm. so that's one of the reasons I'm in your life. So let me help you put these things in place that somebody helped me put in place.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And believe that when God exposes you to what to do, it's the right time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Absolutely.
So you're like, oh, I wish this happened. Like, some people are like, oh, I wish I had this 20 years ago. It's like, you might have been in a condition 20 years ago or 10 years ago or 5 years ago. You couldn't have even received
nope.
it.
Yeah.
Or you wouldn't have implemented.
Nope.
Yeah.
So it happens at the right time. And if you implement it, you can accelerate your advancement and catch up.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think we beat ourselves up so bad?
I think this kind of goes back to, again, I feel like we, in religious spaces, we've got Christian spaces, we've got guidance morally, but some of those things in terms of even just like helping us unwrap our identity from our accomplishment and all that, and like really find our identity and value
mm-hmm.
in who we are in God's eyes. I just don't think there's a lot of emphasis on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like we just kind of get caught up in the current, like everyone else, because all of the majority of the talk is like with ethics and not necessarily identity. And I think that's one of the reasons people can't get the ethical part right. Because I think that kind of flows from identity. And when we're not accomplishing much, this is why I think everybody should practice the Sabbath. Not like Sabbath, not saying it has to be a 7-day Adventist, but the principle of you work 6 days, and you take one off. Because it frees you from like taking a day off. One is it's faith.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's believing, okay, we can do more in 6 with a recharge rejuvenated me than we can in 7 with a wore out, wore down me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's this idea that God's working while I'm resting.
Yeah.
Then it's 2, it trains you to say, I am more than what I produce.
I am.
You know what I mean? And so I feel like if for no other reason, even if people aren't tired, they need one day, you can choose what day it is, a 24-hour period where you don't work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I did it Tuesday.
Did you?
Good. I probably had 4 or 5 Zooms. And I said, you all can have them, but I won't be on them. I'm sorry. I can't do it today. Like, I woke up and it was just, I was off. I was just off.
That was me.
I was like, I can't do this today.
Yeah.
And somebody was like, is everything okay? No, it's not.
Nah.
I'm off. Yeah. What can I do? I just need not to be on this meeting.
Yeah, you got to do it for your mental capacity.
Yeah.
Like, for your emotions. Like, when your body tells you no, like, listen to your body. But I want to shift the conversation a little bit, because we're talking about criticism as it relates to, because we haven't reached the place we feel like that we're supposed to be at.
Yeah.
Right? What about the criticism we have for ourselves because we can't fully be who we want to be? Because we're afraid of what people may say.
Come on.
Like, so it's like, we can't really operate in our authentic selves because we're afraid of what people may think of us or what they may say.
Yeah.
So it's like criticism for me, because I want to be who I really am, but I'm afraid that I'm going to be criticized by others. Does that make sense?
It does. I feel like I want us to struggle for a lot of us. Probably struggle for most of us to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
Some may be further down the road in managing that struggle than others. But I feel like that is also, that exposes that my sense of self is tied to others' opinion of me. And I feel like the key is when that happens, when that's exposed, a person's got to figure out, now what am I gonna do with this?
You know what I mean?
Because if not, you're criticizing you whenever somebody else criticizes you.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're afraid to make moves that you need to make to become who you feel like you're supposed to become because you're concerned about, I don't know. And I think it's one thing to be concerned with. It's another thing to be controlled by.
Yeah.
And frankly, I don't think people can kind of break free from that just by like making a decision. Oh, I heard this podcast. I'm not about to do that.
No, that's a journey.
But you know what?
Yeah.
That's a journey.
A good example for me, I graduate divinity school and I get licensed and ordained to be an elder. Remember, I talked about my grandmother the last episode, and I said, Grandma, I'm more closer to the streets, right?
Yeah.
I knew that I had more of a connection outside of church, right? I felt like the people that I was called to reach didn't exist in our space.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Right? But what I did, I conformed to this idea of what an elder was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So I wore the suit. I had the collar. Right?
You sure did. I remember them days.
I need pictures.
Yeah.
We need pictures.
I got rid of them.
We need pictures.
I changed my voice. And when I spoke, I tried to speak as if.
How did you speak, bro? We need it.
First, giving honor to God.
Who's glad, ahead of my life.
Yeah, we're glad you're here today. You know, you got to say it like today. Excuse me. Please be seated. Yeah. But, you know, so I did.
What's wrong with you, man?
But, you know, I did all of this right? And it caused me to get to a place of depression because I was not living in my truth. And I tried to figure out, I said, God, I need to deconstruct this idea so I can honor you the way that I know how to honor you.
Yeah, that's good.
I felt like I was giving, like the way that I was honoring Jesus was fake. So in order for me to, so when you said it takes time, I had to peel back the layers, right? And strip myself of what's your line of work to how are you working? Right? And so as I begin to do the work that I felt I was called to, all of that stuff start falling off. People were like, you hang out with him? You hang out? That's weird. That's how you know these are my people. And then I stopped feeling like I needed, you know, to be accepted by this audience. You know, I realized like, I'm not called to you. You remember what you said? And you said something, you said, you said something to the extent of people wanting all of you. They can't, they can't accept all of you, right? And I realized in that moment, you can have this piece of me, but this other piece belongs here, and I'm going to thrive in this
space.
That's
so good. That's so good.
You know, I think that's key. And I think it's something that, Chassie, like you said, it's a journey. And Dakari, like you said, it's a journey that involves peeling back layers. And I think that takes some time. It's hard, but it's necessary. But I really feel like two things. Your fulfillment internally depends on it.
Yes.
And so does your fruitfulness. And that means like what you produce and your ability to actually carry out, you know, your life's purpose. And, you know, my hope is that with all of us, just like everybody that's listening to this or watching this, and even those of us on this platform, that we want to be humble. We want to be open to counsel. You know, we want to be considerate. Yet at the same time, we want to be faithful to who we feel like we've been called to be. And we want to live that out in an authentic way, believing that those people that want that and that have been called to that are people that will understand it and get it. And Dakari, you mentioned something that I think we talked about last week. There are different parts to all of us. And it's okay if everyone doesn't want all of you. It doesn't mean that
that's
they're
good,
wrong.
And
you shouldn't feel worse about you
because
everybody doesn't want
you
know, all of you. We want to encourage you to be all that God's called you to be.
That's
an interesting conversation. Thank y'all for your contribution. I learned a lot today. I should have interviewed y'all. Hey, man. Dakari, we need pictures, bro.
I think I got one. I'll show you after the show.
Oh, they definitely out there.
Wear it next week. Wear it next week. Wear the collar and the chain.
But you know what? No, Dakari ain't going to let him do what you like that. If you do that, he got to come with his too. Yeah, I'm fair.
But you know what's funny? I did this on purpose. Speaking of Mississippi, I was in Jackson, Mississippi at a convention. And they said that there was going to be like a storm. And they said, you got to leave. We got to kind of get this, the next flight out versus like waiting until the morning. I was rushing to grab my stuff. And I deliberately left the collar and all of the paraphernalia.
Like, I'm leaving this behind. This is no longer my life.
They came with that. I said, you know what? The storm coming. They can take this too.
Oh, my goodness. Nothing wrong with the collars all of that. It's just not your thing. Well, listen, we hope this conversation added value, but we're not done adding value yet. We've got one of my favorite sections of the show coming up next is the Ask Dr. Darius section right here on the Darius James Podcast. Well, everybody, hey, welcome to the Ask Dr. Darius section of the Darius Daniels Podcast, where we answer questions that you send in to us. And if you have a question you want us to answer on this show, I want you to email me at podcast@dariusdaniels.com. We're going to do our best to get to as many questions as we can. We got a few that have come in for this week. I'm starting with Chastity. What do we have?
Mm-hmm. So this question is from Lena. What makes you feel inspired or like your best self?
Oh, man. A couple of things. So one, people. Mm. So like I think my greatest inspiration is people and seeing people. This is what's weird. You don't have to do what I do to inspire me. Mm. I'm about to share something with y'all. This is so weird. So okay. I had never been to a concert in my life until a few years ago.
Oh, wow.
And
I went with my wife and some friends to Essence Festival.
Okay.
And I'm not really like in the huge, huge crowds like that. And that was a lot for me. But anyway, I remember one night, my friends, this couple was a little bit older than us. And Prince was like main act. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, it's like, you're not excited about Prince? I'm like, not really. So but I'm with the group. So I just go to the group and with the concert or whatever. And I was amazed. I mean, I still wasn't like kind of into that music, mm-hmm. but I was amazed and I was inspired mm-hmm. by his degree of genius.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, yo, he takes what he does seriously. He's meticulous. He's put in the work. He's great at it. So I get inspired to do what I do mm-hmm. by seeing other people who do what they do on another level.
Yeah.
Because it's like gift and talent, but it's like going from good to great is skill.
Yeah.
That's not like we both can be born with the same talent, but it's like what I do with it mm-hmm. that determines, you know, whether or not you separate yourself from the pack. So to see people like Prince who put in that work, this is a weird thing. I've never been, but
yep.
I think I would love to go to a Beyonce concert yep. too because heard.
Nah, she's amazing. I went to two of her concerts. The first one I went to, I was like, I ain't trying to go to no Beyonce concert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like you said, the genius.
It's another level of genius.
Like yeah, if you so I want to go for those reasons. Okay, like to see I've just heard that. So anyway.
That's good.
People about to write us and talk about like the spirits and all
man,
of that.
Please.
Dakari, mm-hmm. what's your question? You know that's a spirit.
You know, I didn't even say nothing.
You know that's a spirit. All right.
God bless you, sugar. Okay. That's what I say.
Well, this question is for you. This question, question comes from a Christian. As a communicator, preacher, how have you found your rhythm in your communication style? Meaning like your sermon structure, your voice, your delivery. Are there any tips for young preachers?
So one, in terms of the way I found my rhythm, this is the first thing I'm going to tell you, time. It just takes time. It's the same thing I would say if you're in a sport, it's like, yo, how do you find your game? Mm-hmm. You know, like, so, because when you're first starting off, you're kind of emulating people that inspire you.
Mm-hmm.
And then over time, you kind of find yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be influenced by different people, but your own unique self will emerge. So that's the first thing I would say. It took me time. Second thing is it takes courage. Because once you kind of find your own rhythm, find your own expression of what you do, then it takes courage to actually live that out and trust that it'll work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm born and raised in Mississippi. So there's like a certain style of preaching that I'm accustomed to and that I grew up with and that I love, that I genuinely love. But I felt like that wasn't my strength, mm-hmm. number one. And then two, it wasn't my style. So it took courage to say, I'm going to be a little bit more teachy.
Yeah.
And believe that I could still reach and impact people, even if I wasn't as preachy.
Yeah.
So like time, courage. And then the next thing I'd say, man, is like, and this is important, you got to be willing to make an investment.
Yes.
I mean that like that can be monetarily. Like I've got bins in my garage filled with VCR tapes and cassettes and CDs of communicators that mm-hmm. I watched
yeah.
and listened. And so I think those are the three things that have helped me. And that's from sermon structure to the way I communicate. Those have probably been the three biggest factors. I think sometimes people like think that things are more sophisticated and complex than they are.
Yeah.
It's like, I wish I had this elaborate strategy to give you, but I don't. I just, mm-hmm. I don't know, I'm working at it every day. Yeah.
That's good. Okay, the last question comes from Josh. He wants to know, how would your parents describe what you do for a living?
That's so I'm thinking about my mom and my dad, who probably have two different angles on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, my mom, I don't know if my mom knows what a podcast is.
Oh.
She doesn't, she definitely probably doesn't care. Like my mom, I could have been a whatever. Yeah. And she's gonna be proud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Her baby.
Oh gosh, she'd be proud. Like it could have been whatever. And she'd have been like, oh yeah, they call me Sean. Oh yeah, Sean is whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's just doing such a good job. So I don't even think she knows all of what I do. And so she would just be like, yeah, he's a preacher.
Yeah.
My dad, on the other hand, is like way more. He's into the details and he gets down into the minutia of everything. So for him, if somebody were to ask him, he's going to list it all.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's an author and he wrote a book. I got the book. You want the book?
Yeah.
Relational Intelligence. That's, no, you probably get it wrong. Intelligence Relational.
Yeah.
I got it right here in the back. My mom's name is Natalie. Natalie, go get the book.
Yeah.
Go get the book. I want to give it to the book. You want him to sign it? Like my dad will FaceTime me.
Yeah.
Like, yo, he will FaceTime me with people that he's met that might be influenced by a ministry that I don't even know.
Yeah.
Like, I got people
and
sometimes
you answer the FaceTime just like, your dad.
He's giving my number to, like, yeah, your daddy gave me your number.
I'm
like,
wow.
Who are you?
Oh, no.
Yeah, so he would give all of the information and
that's so
that's cool.
Funny.
Oh
it
yeah,
is.
100%. He's all into it.
And, I love it.
Yeah, I talked to him. You know, I spoke at Lakewood recently, and he took that. And the next week, because they're all virtual too, still in Mississippi. The next week, that was the message they watched at his church because he's a pastor.
So it's like he didn't even get up there.
I ain't got to preach my son.
My son got
yeah, he's preaching.
Yeah, so yeah. he's kind of like that. So
that's cool.
It's weird. That's what they would say. They're great though.
I
love it. Hey, you know, people said we mentioned that they could Zoom in to join us on the podcast to ask their questions. Are we still here for that?
I'm all for it. I feel like it'd be dope. They just gotta let us know when you email podcast@dariusdaniels.com that you want to actually do it via Zoom.
Yeah, and we'll get it set up.
We'll set up right here in the studio. We'll bring you up.
Yeah.
You get to ask your question and
we'll
engage you for a minute. But some people, they not with the Zoom.
Yeah.
So we need to know if you're open to it. But if you're open
and we want you
to act right now on the Zoom.
Yeah. We'll make sure we send you, you know, like a list of do's and don'ts.
This type A plus. Right?
Yeah.
There's some
do's and don'ts.
Well,
yeah,
Dakari
and I don't believe
in
rules. We just want you to be.
Oh.
Yeah. We're not like rules.
I was getting ready to ask you guys a question, but I don't want to get y'all in trouble. So I'm going to leave that alone.
Hmm.
I was going to ask you if it was okay for, you know, people like to come on a certain type of way. With, like bonnets on their hair and stuff like that.
If you want your question answered on the Darius Daniels podcast.
No rules though, right?
No.
Okay.
No rules.
No. No rules. We're fine with that. Dakar and I are fine with that. As long as somebody's like I'm talking about appropriate. I want them appropriate. Right?
Yeah.
Appropriately dressed, fully clothed. That's what I mean.
We'll make
when
sure
I say
we
appropriate,
share that
I mean
with
fully
you guys.
Clothed.
Yeah.
But if you want your question answered, make sure.
What's
let me
the point?
Let me get a bishop.
What's the
I gotta
point?
Get. I gotta go
What's
to Jesus.
I know he
let
went
get
straight
the bishop. Y'all went prince. You're
What's
not about to
point?
Get us. The cars. You tried to get us out here.
Yeah.
You tried to set us up.
I
wasn't gonna say nothing. No, I got a question for y'all. Now you got a question for me.
That's why I was like, you know, y'all look like ask your question.
No,
so like, okay,
no,
cool.
I didn't look like that. I was
it's
like, no, I'm not.
I'm not.
You said this is ask Dr. Darius.
Not my
Dakar.
Well, listen, it's time for us to sign off before Dakari and I get in trouble. And we've been doing good, and we're not doing that. Listen, we love to hear from you. Podcast at DariusDaniels.com. And thank you guys each week, man, for tuning in, for downloading, for commenting, for sharing, for letting us know how this is adding value to your life. We really appreciate it. Thank you for your support. And we look forward to being back next week right here on the Darius Daniels Podcast. Take care.
You're listening to the Darius Daniels Podcast.